Book of James tonight, chapter 1, while you're turning there. I received a book here just recently. Matter of fact, God has allowed me to have in my possession a number of tremendous books. Many of which I first ran into and became acquainted with the authors at this conference in Menomonee Falls. Some of them are revisitations of authors that I knew in the past. One of those men is named A.W. Tozer. And the book I've recently got a hold of is called The Purpose of Man. To my knowledge, it had never been produced before. It was actually taken from some of his notes. And another man has finished putting this together. And one of the things he talks about, of course, the purpose of man being worship. Purpose of man to bring glory to God. And one of the things that's such a wonderful blessing in my life in the last couple of years has been our prayer meeting times. To be able through that to lift our voices to God in one accord, to be able to ask God to do things. There's nothing quite the same, I don't believe, as I use this term corporate prayer. And some folks feel intimidated in those things, and some folks, I guess, are afraid of them. I do not know why. But it's a tremendous time that we can gather together. Not everyone has to pray. In fact, in our prayer meetings, sometimes very short prayers, sometimes they become very lengthy. It's not a matter of length, it's not a matter of eloquence, it's a matter of heart. I was reading and I saw this and I thought, wow. Tozer said this, "I do not believe that any man has a right to debate a church issue or vote on it unless he is a praying, worshiping man. Only a worshiping man has the ability to make spiritual decisions within the context of the local church." He thought it was so important. That had to do with everyday affairs. It is. What a blessing it is that we might be able to come to God in prayer and allow Him to move and work on our hearts and our lives. I don't know about you, but corporate prayer draws my heart near to those who are praying. And so often as I hear those prayers go up, tonight was one of those nights that it was just like, oh, praise God. And I was just thrilled to hear as God's people seek Him and asking Him to do whatever it is in their life. What a blessedness it is. We've come tonight to this service. It's been prayed for. We've asked God to do something. I want to share with you tonight, I'm not sure exactly how to express it, but how to come to church. How to come to a preaching service. How should we come? Very important. Book of James, chapter number 1. I want to read 11 verses, starting in verse 17 tonight. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Book of James, chapter 1. It says, every good gift, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We have the blessed experience of holding your precious word in our hands. Oh God, as we consider all that you did to get it to us, as we think of the men and the women through the years that sacrificed, yea, even gave of their lives that we might have this precious book, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that in these moments that we might be a people who truly receive from it that which you have for us. Lord, help us to know tonight that it is as important to hear the words of God as it is to preach the words of God. Father, responsibility is tremendous upon us as we come to this, your blessed book. I pray now for the liberty, the power, the strength of the Spirit of God to move in and among us. Oh God, do that which is your work to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As a preacher of the gospel and one who stands in the pulpit and preaches much of his life, it's always exciting for me to be able to go to a service and to hear some good preaching. When I say good preaching, I'm not necessarily talking about that which is thrilling, not necessarily that which might get us all revved up, but what I'm talking about is that which is sound biblically, that which has the truth of God within it. And to come under the sound of that kind of word is always a thrill. It's one reason I'm looking forward to this week. It's one reason I look forward to going to camp, because we have that privilege. I have that privilege to come under that kind of thing. No matter the reason that we might have for hearing, whether that reason be good or whether that reason even be evil, God is one who can make all grace abound. And God wants to do something in our lives when we come to the Word of God. A sick man would do very well if he were to be where physicians dwell. You know, if one is not doing well physically, it would not be good for him to find a place in the country where there is no physicians dwelling. It'd be a foolish mistake. If one has a toothache, it's not good to be where there's no dentist. And so you and I, as we have the ailments of the soul, it do us good that we might be under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Read that in its context, and we understand it to be that hearing by the Word of God is hearing through our ears as the preacher gives it to us. Is it even better that a farmer not leave his crop to chance, as it's better for him to go and to buy and to plant and to fertilize his crop, as it's good for him to take that initiative and to take that, it is also good for the hearer to put forth some effort when it comes to the matter of hearing the Word of God. As you get up in the mornings or whenever the time is for you to sit down and to read your Bible, there ought to be some things take place. As you come into a church service, there ought to be some things that take place. And so the intent of this message is for you and I that we might understand some things from His Word. As we come to verse number 21, looking back in the previous couple of verses, he talks about how a man ought to be slow to speak. It tells us here how a man, as he is in the position of wrath, is not going to be of much purpose. Preaching is not whereby a man comes with anger and wrath, but where he comes with purpose in heart to lay out the things of God. And so here we come under the influence of the Word of God, and God tells us there needs to be some preparation. In verse 21, verse part of it, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. with meekness, then the engrafted word. He says there needs to be some preparation. When we consider who we worship, we cannot come without some careful thought. Too often we come into the presence of God very carelessly. When Moses looked and beheld the burning bush, God told him something he needed to do in way of preparation. He said, I want you to take your shoes off because the ground you're walking on is holy ground. And if you and I are going to come under the influence of the Word of God, I believe when we come to the very presence of God and He's going to speak to our hearts, there needs to be some kind of preparation. We cannot expect to profit much if we bring with us a swarm of thoughts and a heart crammed full of vanity. If we are tonight full of folly, we shut out the truth of God from our minds. I believe one of the real problems that we have in Sunday is Saturday. One of the real problems of Sunday morning can be Saturday night. Yea, even some of the problem of Sunday night can be Sunday afternoon. How is it that we come into the very presence of God and allow Him to speak to our hearts? We're coming to a holy God, and it means that there needs to be some preparation. I believe tonight that if you were to go to a wedding, that you would probably prepare yourself. I doubt if you would just crawl off of some piece of equipment in all of your filthiness and dirtiness and so forth and just, grab a jacket or whatever and take off to the wedding. Now, if you were late and didn't want to miss it, by all means, but there would probably be some time whereby you'd want to clean up. You'd want to prepare yourself as you were going into that presence of those people in that particular event. And by the way, we're going to meet the groom. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, He's with us all the time. But we're coming into a situation whereby the Word of God is projected and you and I need to have some preparation. If we're going to attire ourselves properly, we need to take off some things. We need to remove some things. They need to be laid aside that we might put on, let's say, our wedding garment. And so He says here, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. We ourselves are filthy. And if we are filthy in and of ourselves, that needs to be laid aside that we might come into the presence of God and come with some sort of holiness that we might hear His Word. Filthiness, by its very nature, is dangerous. It's like a disease that spreads. And you and I need to lay it apart. We need to come with a desire for the holiness of God to speak to us. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, He says here. I believe there are some things that ought to be laid aside. Just to name a couple, covetousness. You know, sometimes we walk into church and we look at this, we look at that, and we think, boy, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. What profit is on the mind when one is unfit then to hear the gospel? When that is what is in our hearts and our minds, then we're not fit for. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we need to lay aside that. I believe another we might mention would be anger. The Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How many times have I heard youngsters make the comment that on the way to church, mom and dad were fighting. And the arguments were flying one with another. And then we get out of the car. Oh, honey, walk with me in church. Yeah, right. We need to be a people who what? We need to put some things off that we have a mind that is ready and open to receive the things that God has for us. I remember one time a fellow came to church and as he came to church, a good man in our church, and he said to me, he said, boy, it's been rough, and he says, things are terrible, and boy, you need to bless me today. And what had happened was he did not prepare himself. And he was expecting it to take place, all of that. And he received very little that day. Lay apart some things. Take some things away. We need to take some time to pray and ask God to forgive us. Prepare our hearts for Him. Superfluity, as is mentioned here, of naughtiness, is excessiveness. It's like a tree that has all those little shoots that come up with it. I have a little maple tree that came up by the side of my garage. It's a beautiful little tree. But one of the things it has a problem with is it has all these little shoots that come up. And so I've got to go over and prune them constantly, and they're just constantly wanting to grow up, because what do? They sap the life out of that tree. And so if you and I are going to receive the engrafted Word of God, there's some things that need to be laid aside. Whatever you're giving your strength to other than God is going to keep you from that which God wants to give you. And then He says to receive this Word, this engrafted Word, with meekness. God wants us to receive it in a very special way. We must receive that which God has given us. This is the same door through which grace comes. Many a sermon is preached, but it's not received. If the rain comes to the ground, but it isn't received, the water runs off and the crop, it dries up. And the way that it's received becomes very important, because He says here, receive it with what? Meekness. Meekness is an interesting word, because meekness is basically the same thing as humility. And what it is saying here, that we must receive it with a teachable spirit. If we sit in a service and we think, well, I know more than he does, which is probably true, or I've got this thing all figured out, we cannot receive from God. We have to come with that humble attitude, that which is saying, there is something God wants to give me today. That teachable spirit. What we receive is the difference between heaven and hell. It is that engrafted Word. Now consider engrafted Word. If there is going to be a graft take place, then something must get cut. Not only is that which is being grafted into cut, but that which is grafting into is also cut. The new grows into the old and takes nourishment from it, because it has first of all been cut. Our hearts must be allowed to be cut and opened. And then the Word must be laid into the gash until the two adhere. And the heart begins to hold on to the Word. The problem comes when the Word of God comes to us and speaks to us, and it cuts us and it gashes us and it wants to pull us open, but we cringe and pull away. And we now not the knife of God to open us up, to flay us, that He might thus bring that wondrous Word in to bring us the strength that we need. We must believe that this His book is able to meet the needs of our heart. You see, we somehow think that this book somehow meets the need spiritually, but not any other way. But this book meets the need emotionally. My Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Amen? That's God's Word. My Bible speaks of many emotions that He will give us if we, what, are in the Word of God. This book is well able to save us. This book is well able to keep us. This book even teaches us how we are to handle even the taking care of our bodies. You know, the first thing we ought to do when we have a problem in our body is to pray. Now, God may heal, but God may direct us to some healing method or a man. God may lead us, and most often I believe He does lead us to doctors. But by the way, have you noticed that one doctor cannot find the cause that another doctor can find? It is important that we pray to the God of heaven that He might lead us to the proper person and the proper kind of medication, if you please. He is able to what? Meet the needs of our entire life. But somehow we think, well, it's just that which we carry to church, and it's that which is good for certain people, and it's not really a practical book. But indeed it is. And so you and I today, we not only need to prepare ourselves by removing some things, but we need to stop and we need to ponder. and allow God to bring that Word into our hearts and our lives. But I want to share with you one last thing that's very, very evident here in the book of James. And we find it in verse number 22 and on towards the end of this chapter. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. What's it say? Deceiving your own selves. If we are going to gain from God, there are a couple of things that we ought to be able to do afterwards. If you're to sit down on your Bible and you're to read it and God blesses your heart from it, there is something that must take place afterwards or it will not be yours. What needs to take place afterwards, we need to first of all be able to verbalize it in very simple language and that which we're used to. If we're not able to tell somebody else what we just read, have we gotten it? Maybe we need to go back and let Him give it to us again. That is very important for us. And so we need to do that. That is a part of the doing. And then we begin also to perform it, whatever it is that God is speaking of. If we read something on prayer, and we say, boy, that is tremendous. God says He will answer every prayer of mine, but never to pray, then have we gained from it. And so we need to be a people who what? Perform that. The problem is that whenever a people get near to God, they forget the performance of it. And as they forget the performance of it, after a while they begin to forget even the blessing of it. I preached to you this morning on the city of Nineveh. And Nineveh heard the Word of God preached to them through Jonah. They had repented. The city turned to God. And great revival took place. But 100 years later, they had forgotten. No longer practicing it. There must be not only the preparation, not only the pondering as we listen, we allow it to come within our souls, but then there must be the determination within our soul to what? To practice it. To allow it to do its work. Christians who hear and won't do are self-deceived. And then they wonder why they do not gain. Labor, that which we're doing after we've heard, becomes the cement to hold the renewed heart in place. Notice verse 23. If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is what? Likened to a man beholding his face, natural face in a glass. He sees what he is. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and what? Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This is the man who looks into it and allows the Word of God to do some change in his life, and he becomes a doer of it. It is a part now of his life. Brethren, we need to allow God's Word to affect our doing. It has to come to the heart, but from the heart it comes outward. And if we don't allow this to take place, brethren, we are people who are not receiving. How many believe the truth can change your soul? How many believe the truth of God can change your destination from hell to heaven? Amen. But is not the truth of God's Word that which can change our daily life? But we come to the Word of God so nonchalantly. We come to it without preparation of our own hearts. We come to church service so often without preparation in our own hearts. And God has a very difficult time, should I say, speaking to us. It's not He has a difficult time. We have a difficult time hearing because we're so caught up in the things of the world. You have responsibilities this week. You have things you have to do. But if you're going to have the Word of God speak to your heart, you can't do that very well while you're doing those. We have to lay aside some things, especially those things that are harmful to us, and allow that Word to sink deep within us and to do its work. God wants that in church service. And we go about our lives and we do this, we do that, and we don't come with prepared hearts. We got to prepare. We need to ponder the Word of God. Allow it to speak to our hearts. Allow that engrafted Word to center and to come in and to do its work. And as it does its work, then we go to work. Allowing it to come out through us, to be expressed through us, through our mouths, through our hands, whatever. Allowing God thus to what cement it into our hearts and our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You. We have the privilege to enter in the house of the Lord tonight, and we thank You that we can come into Your presence. Lord, I pray that You help us to understand how important it is to prepare ourselves as we come to the house of the Lord, to seek You, to pray, to lay aside some things. Lord, not to allow all the distractions of life to tear our minds away from that which You want to speak to us about. Lord, to ponder, to allow Your Word that place in our lives. Oh God, that we would have that kind of desire in our souls to allow it to just come in and to do its work. And thus that it might work its way out through us. God, I pray that You just have Your hand upon each one in this area. Help us understand this. Lord, I believe many do, but I believe some do not. Lord, I believe all of us at times fail in this drastically. Lord Jesus, do a work in our midst, I pray, in His wonderful name. Amen. There is invitation tonight. I'd ask you to stand where you're at.